Don't be left in the dark. Get proper understanding of life through the Word of God. My people perish for lack of knowledge. The Word of God is an illumination which gives direction. Remain blessed as Reverend Osfawenu illuminates your mind with the Word of God with all simplicity and clarity.
We considered a 7 items checklist by which we can benchmark our individual management approach with the standard set by God and, of course, by our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, I will quickly refresh our memory of those 7 items on the checklist. One, we mentioned building enduring institutions with efficient management system to make them deliver on their mandate. The first thing we saw God doing immediately after he commenced the work of creation, or immediately he commenced the work of creation, was to put an institution in place that Adam and Eve will manage on behalf of God. Two, appointment of managers that are adequately equipped to work with us. God did the same thing. He appointed Adam and Eve and put them in charge of the Garden of Eden. Three, provision of clear schedule of duty alongside unambiguous rule of engagement. So they had a clear schedule of duty to dress, to keep, and to dress the garden. Then, number four, provision of efficient reward system. I did mention that they need no permission to eat of the fruit of the garden except one. So God provided efficient reward system that will motivate appointed manager to serve with unalloyed commitment. Number what now? Five, provision of clearly stated disciplinary measures that will apply non-discriminatorily without sentiment of any form. When they eventually flouted the rules of engagement and God was to administer sanction, Mother Eve tried to play up sentiment, but God would not listen to any of such. As he administered sanction on Adam, he did same for Eve, and of course the same for the devil. He did not allow Eve to play the smart one by passing the bulk of the blame on the devil. He sanctioned each of them for their failure. Number six, engaging in regular review of our estates to introduce necessary improvement measures, and that to be done in the spirit of maintaining excellent performance, optimal output, in order to ensure sustainable growth. We saw how God, at the close of each day, we do an appraisal of what he has created, and we conclude that it is good. And we saw that for the first 5 days up to the first half of the sixth day. Then, at the second half of the sixth day, the conclusion was that it was very good. But then God will still not rest on his oars after creating man in his own image. He still looked for what can be improved upon in man. And so he went ahead and created for him a suitable helpmeet. And then the seventh one is being available to supervise the process in order to achieve the desired success. So we look at that very critically. And so, as we proceed in today's study, I don't want us to forget the fact that the end of a Christ-centered teaching is not meant to just inform the mind, but to transform lives. Tell somebody, be ready to get transformed by the Word of God. So, I am not just here to inform you, but I am working in partnership with the Holy Spirit that through the divine informations that you are going to receive, your life will be transformed in the name of Jesus. So, in addition to salvation of souls and preparation of God's people for eternity with God, the ministry of the Word of God is equally meant to equip God's people for earthly good works. So, any Christ-centered message will be primarily focused on salvation of soul and, of course, preparation of God's people for eternity with God. But it must not end there. So, the ministry of God's word must also perform that function of equipping God's people for earthly good works. Okay, and it is on the basis of that this topic has to be thoroughly addressed for us to be well equipped unto goodness in every aspect of our life endeavors. In the name of Jesus. As a student, you are going to get blessed. You will find something relevant to academic excellence. As a business person, you are going to get blessed. You will find something relevant to business, to profiting in your business. As a career person, you will find something that will propel your career progress. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Apostle Paul, trying to address the mind of Timothy to the usefulness of God's word in every aspect of man's composition, mentioned from verse 15, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. And he went further to let him know that not just for memory, for memorization, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Thank God we have our children participating very effectively in all of these sessions. My prayer is that as they receive this engrafted word of God, it will make them wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So the first thing we can find in the ministry of the Word of God is to make people wise unto what? Salvation. Now, verse 16 now pointed us to the fact that it does not end there. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable not just for one thing, but for many things. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So as I bring the word of God again, if it come as a doctrine, please receive it and practice it. If it comes as a reproof, please, with a meek heart, take the rebuke. If it come as a correction, please take note of your areas of failing, okay? And turn a new leaf to begin to do things correctly. And if it comes as instruction, please embrace it and use it to pursue a godly living and an excellent life in all that you do in the name of Jesus. Then verse 17, that the man of God, say, I am a man of God. It doesn't matter if you are female gender. You are a man of God. That the man of God, because the direct beneficiary of this message was a man. It's the reason the scripture said that the man of God. But don't forget, as I keep on emphasizing, that the word of God has universal application. So, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, unto all good works. Unto all good works. So, for this reason, today's study, like the previous one, is intended to make you further appreciate the universal application of the word of God in your day-to-day living. And our approach today is to spot out, bring out, identify a few critical aspects of our lives and point out how we are expected to manage them effectively. May the Holy Spirit help us to address the area that will be relevant to your need, that will make you perfect unto all good works, in the name of Jesus. However, before we get into the deep waters of the teaching, one helpful fact that you should bear in mind is that we must embrace and imbibe the right attitude to management. And that we must first and foremost appreciate the indisputable fact that all available resources in the entire universe, including those ones located within your circumference of management influence, all of them, without an exception, belong to God. And that you are officially the steward charged with that responsibility of managing them on behalf of God, to whom we are ultimately accountable. This is what I'm saying essentially. You must let it register in your mind and stay with you, okay? And get properly entrenched in your belief system that God owns all resources and that God made you his steward to officially take care of those ones that are located within the circumference of your management responsibility. And that you will be accountable to God one day what you do with those resources. So, what are resources? Resources, in the context of our focus, are available sources of wealth. Any source of wealth that is available to you, any source of wealth that is located within the circumference of your management influence, is a resource. You can also view resources as source of aid or support. So anything that can provide support for you, anything that can aid you, be it men or material, can also be classified as being part of resources. Human potential or manpower are not left out. Human potential, manpower that you can draw upon when needed, all these put together can be classified as resources. And like I said, God Almighty is the source of all of them. And some set of them have been placed within the circumference of your management influence for you to stand in on behalf of God as stewards to manage them. So God owns all available resources, whether living or non-living. And we must relate to them as such. We must relate to them as what? As such. And also do our best to learn from God the best approach to manage them without abusing their purpose. The problem with many of us is that we abuse the purpose of the resources that God has placed within the circumference of our management influence. But we must bear in mind that one day we're going to account for them. So for the convenience of explanation, because we are actually dealing with a subject that is very vast, so we need to actually narrow ourselves to focus on certain critical area. So for the convenience of explanation, God resources will be classified as follows. One, men. In my definition of resources, don't forget I included manpower. And so therefore, men can also fall in as human resources, money, capital resources, materials, including mineral resources, and utilities. Utility for students like their textbook, their pencil, their locker. Utility for mothers like their utensils in the kitchen. Utilities, okay, for every one of us, like vehicle, and so on and so forth. So material. Then potential. Your God-given ability, inborn ability. Many people have no business with poverty, but they are eating and drinking poverty like food and water, because they are underutilizing their potential. May God touch somebody and wake up the giant in you to begin to make profit from your potential in the name of Jesus. Then God granting us grace, not necessarily today, we will also talk about time. So I have mentioned what and what. Church, let's go together. One, men. Two, three, let's go together, material. Four, and lastly, so MQPT. So you caption it as MQPT. Men, money, material, potential, and time. MQPT. So let's put the focus of our teaching light on men for today. And this include our immediate and extended family. Your spouse is your responsibility. Your children are your responsibility. Your wards, relatives, in-laws, and of course, outside the family setting, friends and associates at the social contact level are also included among men. And of course, without sounding immodest, poor management of these closest human assets is the problem of many people, and not the absence of material assets. So poor management of human resources or human assets, which to me are the closest and most readily available asset to every man. Do I have anybody in church who doesn't have a brother? If you don't have a brother, you have an uncle or you have a sister. Are we together? You have a father or you have a mother. Even orphans, they are not left without relatives. Are we together? May your circle of family relation be a helpful one. In the name of Jesus. But however, the onus lies on you to be a good manager of this closest human asset. Because the poor management of them is actually the problem of many people who are complaining of absence of material asset. So, some people think money is their problem. Whereas, money is not their problem, but poor management of human assets. There's this popular Yoruba saying that he who has people has riches. In fact, the local musician in my place will use their percussion drum, the local gangan, to sing Eni Tole Yan Lolo Wo. Have you heard that song before? Eni Tole Yan Lolo, Eni Tole. Sing with me now. Eni Tole Yan, Eni Tole Yan, Eni Tole Yan Lolo. Praise the name of the Lord. So he who has people has riches. But people can only turn out as riches for you where you know how to manage relationship efficiently. Where you know how to manage relationship efficiently, then the people you have will turn out to become helpful to you in every aspect whereby you may nail them. Bring it down to husband and wife relationship, which is the primary basis of family. We have some husbands that are poor, and not because they are destined to be poor, but because they cannot manage the top-notch, cutting-edge, enterprising talent of their wives. Hello? So when you have a man that is not secure, when a woman is doing well, is the beginning of mismanagement of the family. Are we together? So the reason some husbands are poor is not because they are destined to be poor, but because they have failed to be able to manage the top-notch, cutting-edge, enterprising talent of their wives. Then, for some wives too, they are suffering. And they have issues all the time with their husband because they are poor managers of the masculine ego of their husbands. When you look at both and not, they are not similar, but they are meant to work together. Answer me, church. Both and not, are they similar? They are not similar. One is long, okay? The other one is somehow spherical or circular in shape. Are we together? One has it threading on the outside. The other has it threading on the inside. So from whichever angle you want to look at it, the differences are more than the similarity. But yet, they are meant to work together. So both and not can only be one if they are screwed to align with the grain of their treading. So, with therefore means, if you will not damage either the knot or the bolt, you must study how the direction of the treading. Okay. And if you are able to do that, and you know how to align the two of them, you will be able to bring them together and use them to fasten things together. Things that otherwise will have stayed apart. Okay? You can employ the differences in the bolt and the knot to bring them together. And in a family setting, every man, every woman, every member of the family, even in other aspects of relationship, that wisdom is required. Praise the name of the Lord. Because the problem of some people is that once things are not going in their way, they are not comfortable. Are we together? So learn from the wisdom of the bolt and the knot. They are not similar, okay? But still, by synergy, they can produce results. God will grant you the management wisdom to synergize with your wife and get the best outcome for your family. God will give you the wisdom to synergize your children so that they can work together and come out fine on top in the name of Jesus. So, when you look critically again into the family system, some children are rebellious. Not necessarily because they are difficult, but simply because the parents are only good at fault finding. As if their children have never and can never do anything that is worth praise giving. Hello? So the tendency for children to revolt will always be there. But with proper management, the revolt will never graduate into rebellion. So it's not unusual that children at some point will want to revolt. But the poor management of it by parents is what allow it to grow from revolt to rebellion. I pray in the name of Jesus. The Lord will grant you the wisdom to manage the tendency in your children to revolt. They will not rebel against you in the name of Jesus. Their protest will never turn to a permanent problem in the name of Jesus. Now, what management skill do you therefore need? As we can find in God's management principle, is that you should not just specialize in fault finding. Never treat your children as if they have never done anything good or that they can never do anything that is worth praise giving. So because parents that specializes in fault finding and will never spot anything that is worth praise giving in their children actually need to attend the school of God's management principle and learn how to occasionally overlook. Learn how to do what? Overlook. So we call back saying, Kajuku Ombe. Mama, so from Baba, we call back saying, Kajuku Ombe. Every year, they say, back where shaking every waiting for the appropriate time. Praise the name of the Lord. Every time is not the right time for discipline, there's always an appropriate time. Have you heard me? Every time is not the right time for discipline. There is always what? An appropriate time. So let us go to God's school of management and learn how to occasionally overlook and still ensure that discipline is done in such a way that it will bring the desired good outcome. Let me show you something in Psalm 103, verses 8 and 9. Don't forget that the topic is still God's management principles, and we are looking at its application with focus on human management today, starting from the family setting, and then, if grace permit us, we extend to other aspects of our social contacts. Verse 8, Psalm 103, the Lord is merciful and gracious. Let's read the next line together. Slow to what? So what is the manner of your own anger? Quick anger. Spontaneous anger. Touchy skin. For everything that is not said the way you want it said, you will revolt. For everything that is not done the way you want it done, okay, you will give your son or your daughter a hard knock or a slap at the back. Gbogbo elabara, pa. Toro ti binu. Mama, are you in church? Answer me. Gbogbo enikini abara. Igba to ba ya o na wa giran, ani ko kuku ju aba lo. But for God, the Bible says, is what? Slow to anger. And plenteous in mercy. He will not always cheat. Can somebody attempt another version of the scripture for me? Verse 9. He will not always rebuke. He will not always condemn. He will not always express displeasure. That is God, attribute of God in managing us. And he expects that the way he's managing us is the way we should also manage the people in our circumference of management influence. Am I talking to somebody? What do you have in your version of the scripture? Verse 9. He will not always accuse. Some of you have taken up responsibility of the devil in your home. Accuser of the brethren. Accuser of your husband. Accuser of your wife. Hallelujah. He will not always accuse. That is God. That does not mean he will not rebuke. That does not mean he will not correct. But he will sometimes overlook, waiting for the most appropriate time to do it. Are we together? Neither will he keep his anger forever. Some of you, hey, you are professors in keeping malice. Hello? You don't know how to treat issues in isolation. Okay, you must bring back the issues of 10 years ago to join with the issues of 13 years ago. Before you can address the issue of now, you are burukuni. So, God can be angry, but he doesn't keep that anger forever. Elumi ani motin so ena ni. Moti ma pente sonanu. Praise the name of the Lord. And you have forgotten that your imaginations have power. Your imagination have influence over your friend. Your imagination have influence over your children. Your imagination have, your expectation have influence over your wife and over your husband. Your husband, you are dealing with your husband, okay, and you're already predicting in your mind. You're already manipulating him in your imagination that this is the answer he will give. And once he gives that answer, which you have called for, when you make test on any here. Praise the name. Sometimes we fail or we underestimate our spiritual authority. Hello? Expectation has power. Imagination has what? Power. So if you expect good outcome, you receive good outcome. If you expect good answer, you get good answer. If you expect pleasant response, you will get pleasant response. But if you program your mind for what is negative, oh, you get it full dose. At the end of the day, it is not the problem of the man, but it's the problem of the manipulation that has come over him from your imagination. Am I talking to somebody? Likewise, for the men too. Okay, as you are going out, you are serving your wife instruction. Okay, and as you are serving the instruction, you are also programming your mind that Konishi, praise the name of the Lord. Okay, and that spell, you cast it on her, and then you go and come back. Say, Emoti Makwe Konishi, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you look at this issue, you will notice that generally, the constantly bullying father or the professional nagging mother who don't know how to manage his or her anger and can be easily predicted by the children will always be the least respected of the pair by the children. If the father is the one that the children know that he will always bully them, if they know that the mother is a professional nagger, that she will nag, go and check it. You will discover that that one that does not know how to apply the principle of overlook and let issue wait until the appropriate time to address them will be the least respected by the children. Hello? Iwo lo mo ba won wiju iwo si no ni gboran si lenu rara. Am I talking to somebody? Because you have made yourself vulnerable, so you can be easily predicted. This is this fable that was once told, and I admire it so much. I want you to listen to it. A fable was told of the reason the vulture has great respect for dogs and will not prey on their young ones, but it will prey on the cheek of the hen at will. Whether that is true or not, I have heard it said that the vulture will prey easily on the cheeks of hen, but we avoid the baby dog. The story goes like this. A young, inexperienced vulture once prey on the baby chicken. And when it did that, it took it to the mother vulture. And upon arrival, the mother vulture asked, what was the reaction of the mother hen when her baby was snatched? You know, the way the vulture will come and then pick the chick. And then took it to the mother. And the mother vulture was saying, when you picked the baby chicken, what was the reaction of the hen? The young vulture narrated all the noisy reactional drama of the mother hen. You know the way the mother hen jump. So narrated all of that. Then the mother vulture said to the young vulture, don't worry yourself. Satisfy yourself to a good meal, because the mother hen cannot do any further damage beyond the spontaneous drama. Bad man. So from that time, the vulture developed taste for baby chicken. Then at another expedition, the young vulture picked a baby duck. And the mother dog was not perturbed. So, like the mother vulture queried the inexperienced vulture, he did the same again. And upon questioning on the reaction of the mother dog, the young vulture said that the mother dog noticed my preying on her baby. But when she could not do much immediately, she deliberately looked away. Then the young vulture was requested by the mother vulture to return the baby dog with immediate alacrity, because they cannot tell what the quiet mother will do afterward. eleyi to dake yi o amanti o se kini o. So therefore, and so for that reason, the fortune has great respect for the dog. Hello, eyin baba elegba 24/7, eyin iya alariwo 24/7. Are you learning from the hen and the dog? Then let's move to the friendship circle of our social contact. Some friends are envious of their friends' cutting-edge ability. And because they cannot cope with the discipline of purpose-filled living of their successful peers, what do? As a trait of poor management, they end up distancing themselves from the company of contagious success to live in penury. All this because they are poor managers of their self-esteem. If you are a poor manager of your self-esteem, it's going to be very difficult for you to work with, operate in the company of successful friends. Hello? To such persons, this is how you know them. To such persons, every successful person is either arrogant or diabolical. So assess yourself. If your peers that you grew up together with in secondary school, but now they are well placed and they are doing well, if your conclusion by looking at them from a distance, you are a poor manager of your self-esteem. Am I talking to somebody? You must be able to cope with other people's success, otherwise you will never succeed. Let's come to the organizational level of our social contact. If you are a business owner, you have apprentice. Yourself, you are an employer. Possibly you are working in an organization as an employee where you have co-employees. Both those that are junior and to you and those that are your senior colleagues. All of you must work together in the establishment, manage the establishment, and manage your interpersonal relationship. So all of these also fall within the scope of the relationship circumference that will require you to demonstrate efficient management skill. And all of this also can be learned from the Word of God. Then let's come to the church setting. In the church setting, church members, pastors' relationship is also very crucial. In the larger society, as citizens, we have those that are in leadership and governance. All these are also essential areas of vital relationship circles where God's management principles are desirable. Okay, and we need to learn all of those. Now, let's zero in on a scenario of an organization. It's of paramount importance to know that in any organization, everybody is a manager. Hello, how does that sound to you? In any organization, the church, that company you are working for, that government office where you are employed to work, even if you occupy the least position on the hierarchy of management, you are also a manager. So, in any organization, everybody is a manager. And any member who does not see himself as a manager will be the problem, the number one problem of the organization. Forget the fact that some people have been officially designated for that assignment. For instance, the CEO is to manage the entire organization. But yet, the CEO will have a personal secretary. The CEO may have a personal assistant. The CEO may have a protocol officer. Are we together? Now, go and check the job description, the job schedule, the term of reference of these people that are to work with the manager. You will discover that they are the managers of the manager. Am I talking to somebody? The chief executive officer, the general manager, or whatever terminology is adopted in your organization, is to manage the entire organization. But at the end of the day, you will discover that there are some so-called small people in the system that are actually the manager of the manager himself. So, what then should people who occupy such strategic role understand? Number one, you need to learn to study and to manage the cherished standard, boundaries, special interest, and emotional disposition of your boss. Hello? So if you develop that mentality and that understanding that you are the manager of the manager, and as you do that efficiently, God will also promote you to the level whereby you also become the manager of the system. Somebody say amen to that. Now, what therefore do you need to know and learn to be able to perform efficiently? Study to know and to manage the following. One, the standard that your manager cherishes. The boundaries, okay, that your manager sets. The special interest of your manager. And of course, the emotional disposition of your manager. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. If you don't do all of these, you are not likely to last long on the job. You are not likely to last on the job. If you cannot study to know and to manage the standard that your boss cherishes, the boundary that your boss sets, the special interest, and the emotional disposition of your boss. If you don't study all those and study to know and to manage all those critical areas, you may not last on the job. Beside that, you must learn how to manage yourself well in order to be able to deliver excellently on duty. If you are employed as a personal secretary or you are employed as a receptionist, praise the name of the Lord, and you are the one that will always come late to job and the office key is kept with you, and so your boss will not come to the office and is loitering around. So who is now the boss? Simply because you cannot manage yourself well. So self-management, by my definition, is the first line duty in the school of management. Self-management, managing yourself, including your time. So manage your temperament. Manage your challenges. What makes some people poor managers and they cannot therefore deliver well on their job and they cannot stay long before they are fired from their job is because they cannot manage their challenges. Some cannot manage their time. Some cannot manage their income. So every time you will be asking for salary advance. Hello? So your employer should not be viewed as a garbage to dump all your prayers and personal responsibilities. That's where a lot of people at the junior cadre in any management system miss it. They view their employer or their office as a garbage because they cannot manage their challenges properly. So they view their employer as a garbage upon whom they can always and readily dump their prayer and personal responsibility. So if you are the type that will always bring your needs to the office without adding value to the office, the loud statement you are making by your lack of productivity is that you are not needed. Hello? You should know that you are hired because your services are needed and not because you have needs. That is one mentality that you should take off your mind. Okay? You are seeking job because you have needs. Your productivity may not be optimal if you take on job with that mentality. Am I talking to somebody? Or am I sounding too radical for you to appreciate? If you sample 10 African job seekers, between 7 and 9, if not all the 10, will be seeking for a job because they have needs. Not knowing that that mentality, that mindset will eventually affect their performance if they eventually get the job. So you are hired because your services are needed. Because your resourcefulness, okay, will be required. Because your education will add value. Because your potential will contribute to the progress of the organization and not necessarily because you have need. You may have need, but suppress your need and go and meet needs of your organization. That is what will now come back to you, okay, as a reward to meet your need. Are we together? Am I saying you will not have needs? You will have needs. But that should not drive, okay, your mindset of seeking for job. Why? Because the moment it is evident that you need a job more than your employer need you, you have become a parasite on the system. Hello? If you need the job more than your employer need you, your regard in the system will be very light. Are we together? Especially when your employer knows that. Your value will be suppressed. You will be at the mercy of your employer. And of course, you yourself will become a parasite on the system. And no employer will want to keep a parasite in the system. So, an employee who is a successful manager of himself will position himself as a pillar and not as a caterpillar in his workplace. Tell somebody, position yourself as a pillar, not as a caterpillar. So, you are employed to add value to the system and not to be a body on the management. Okay, the moment some people are employed, they have seen a place where they will transfer all their body. His salary will be paid, okay, on the 25th of the month. And by the 5th of the month. It's already coming to the employer to borrow money to buy foodstuff. So your association with an organization should be an asset. Never make it a regrettable recruitment accident for your employer. Your association with an organization should be an asset. Never you make it a recruitment accident, a recruitment error for your employer. Adanabai. Hello? Iru kashia ulagbai. Okay? Between the office and the bank, okay? 10,000 has gone out of 100,000 is supposed to go and deposit. Okay, and then she will come with a narrative. Excuse me, sir. As I was going to the bank, my mother called me. And they said my sister is such a person is a recruitment what? Accident. So every employee must pray for the grace of Joseph, whose master's estate prosper under his watch. You know Joseph the dreamer? When he got to Egypt and he was employed by Potiphar. Here, the record of his working relationship with his master. Verse 1 of Genesis 39. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelite, which had brought him down hither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Hello? A slave, but what? Prosperous. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So he never allowed his problem, okay, to overwhelm him. And therefore, every time looking morose, confused, and absent-minded. Hello? Some of you don't know how to keep your problem at home. When you are going to work, you take it to the place of work. So Joseph is not the type that will be absent-minded and will be thinking about what he went through with his brother when he's at work. Am I talking to somebody? And some of you say, I've been working. They don't promote me. I don't get a raise. You don't get a raise because you are not bringing life, okay, to the system. You are only bringing problem. A slave described as prosperous. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So he had that value. Then, for the employers too must pray for the grace of what Abraham was to Lot. The grace of what Abraham was to Lot. The employee, the grace of what Joseph was to Potiphar. Employer, the grace of what Abraham was to Lot. Genesis 13. And from verse 1. And Abraham went out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And now, how many people went out? Answer me, church. Abraham, his wife, and who again? And Lot. So you can bring Abraham and his wife as one, and Lot as the second party. And we find out that Abraham became very rich in cattle, in silver, and in what? in gold. But Lot was with him. Verse 3. And he went on his journey from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Now verse 5. And Lot also. Somebody say, and Lot also. Which went with Abraham. Had flocks and herds and tents. And Lot also. Hello, you are the employer. You are changing cars. You are building houses. Okay? And your employees cannot change sleepers. Hello, am I talking to somebody? And Lot what? Also. So when you are prospering, and your brother also. When you are prospering, and your employee also. So Lot prospered under Abraham. And of course, away from Abraham, he continued to prosper. In spite of the circumstances surrounding their separation, we discover in Genesis 14, from verse 1 to 16, that Lot escaped captivity because Abraham arose to rescue him. Because all the while when he was following him, he was useful to him. And so Abraham makes sure that he also prospered. And when they eventually separated, though not on light mood, are we together? He had problem. Abraham still arose to rescue him. Then, in Genesis 18, from verse 16 to 33, and then from chapter 19, verse 1 to 17, we discover that again that Lot escaped destruction because Abraham interceded for him. Lot was in oblivion of what became of Sodom and Gomorrah, but Abraham was aware. But now Lot was living in Sodom and Gomorrah. What did Abraham do? He interceded. He prayed. Even though God will not be able to spare the entire city. Okay, the one that has connection with Abraham was bailed out. So if somebody walk under you and eventually the person starts his or her own business and the business is running into crisis, it's not too much for you to intervene and bail the person out. That's how to have the spirit of Abraham. In employer and employee relationship. Are we together? So, to crown it all for today, beside God's sovereignty over human affairs, on the humanity plane, manpower or human resources is the greatest asset in any establishment. Including the church. Hello? On the human plane, manpower, human resources is the greatest asset in any establishment, and the value you place on men will determine how far you will go in life. On the human plane. So, more often than not, scarcity of other resources to do God's work or to function efficiently in other establishments can be traced to the absence of suitable manpower to provide prudent and diligent management of other resources. And that is why of all the 5 or 7 we listed, we are taking out man, the place of men today, to study. When we look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, we will discover that in the absence of man, God was careful in dispensing certain critical resources. Hello? Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. These are the generation of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, verse 5, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, Are you following that reading? That after God had created everything, there was a withholding of certain things from happening. A withholding of those things from happening. And those things are very critical. So, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. Clearly here, rain was withheld. What was withheld? Rain. And there was not a man to till the ground. Now, why was the rain withheld? Because man was not yet available to till the ground. So, from this scripture, man is very central to God's agenda, and by extension, very central to efficient functionality of the human society. From this scripture again, we can note how unavailability of the right man can cause untoward delay to the fulfillment of God's program. I pray that man that should appear in your life for you to make progress, may you come across that man in the name of Jesus. When you come across that man, may you value the man. When you begin to work with that man, may you be efficient in managing your relationship in the name of Jesus. So, from that scripture, beside the dew and the river that watered the Garden of Eden, rain was part of the divine plan, but was withheld because there was no man, no manager to till the ground. The Lord will help you. You will not fail the purpose of your creation in Jesus' name. You are very valuable, just as others are also very valuable to your fulfillment of destiny. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us in today's service. Hope you have been blessed. Do well to join us in our various weekly services.
Every Sunday, 7 a.m., Leaders Breakfast, where we are equipped fully for all-round success. We learn, unlearn, contribute, and ask questions. And 9 a.m., our main service, Wonders of Wisdom Banquet.
Every Tuesday by 10 a.m., Solution Mountains, where we bring all our petitions to the Lord. Trust me, all prayers shall be answered. And 5 p.m., Drama Rehearsals.
Every Wednesday by 6 p.m., Bible Study, where we sit at the feet of our Lord Jesus to learn.
Every Friday, intercessory units meet to intercede for one another and for the church at large.
And every Saturday, various units in the church meet for preparation.
Such as media, choir, sanitation, and praying mothers.
Also, every first day of the month at 5:30 a.m., Grace for a New Beginning, where we receive fresh anointing to run the month.
Every last Tuesday of the month, 4 p.m., ushering department gathered for their meeting. Stay blessed as you join us in the services.
God bless you.